rely on God. One of those times when you're in a difficult situation, it seems like really there's just nothing that you can do to help yourself out, but you can only rely on God. I know that I have. And now this example is probably not as serious as some of the stories that we could find in this room right here, but I remember once upon a time when I was about 19 years old. I was in college, and I took up running to exercise. And I had never really done a lot of running before, but I had been working out some with some friends in college, and I took up running, and I really got into it. And so I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and then I broke my foot because of all that running, in fact. You know, I don't know if it was a matter of technique or form or the surface I was running on, but pretty soon my foot started to hurt. My right foot started to hurt a lot, enough so that even 19-year-old me said, maybe I should go and get this checked out. So I went to the doctor. I went to the student health center on campus where I was, and after an x-ray, the doctor told me that what had happened is I had a stress fracture in my right foot. That was what was causing all of the pain. And what he said was that there was really nothing that I could do about it, or that anyone else could do about it. Because of that bone in your foot, there's lots of other bones right there. It holds it all in place. And so, well, a cast wouldn't help anything. A boot wouldn't help anything. And even crutches, he said, really wouldn't help anything. What would be best for healing that foot was just to let it heal on its own, to walk on it very carefully so that it would heal in the right sort of position. I wouldn't be bending it or anything like that, but it would heal properly. Just walk on it very carefully and deal with the pain. And that was all he said you can do. And so that's what I did. And so for about 6 weeks that year, I would walk painfully from my college dorm to my classes, and I would stay there. I would walk from class to class, and then I would walk back home. And after a while, that foot, it did heal, and I could run some more. But there's some times in our lives when there's just nothing you can do to help yourself out. That was my time, and like I said, that was probably not as serious as some of ours because I was young. It healed. I got better. Maybe for you, that time when you just can't do anything to help yourself has come in between the time when you send off that college admission packet and then before you get the letter of acceptance, and you're just waiting and wondering what's going to happen. Maybe for you, that time has come when you go in for a medical test and you just don't know what the outcome will be. Maybe for you, that time has come in a medical thing too, in the course of treatment, and you know, for cancer, for a transplant, for a broken bone, for something like that, and you can't do anything to help yourself out except wait and hope that the medicine you're getting will do its work. Maybe that time has come for you when you're sitting with a loved one who's close to death, and you can't do anything except spend the time with them and make them comfortable. You know, recently this has been in the news, actually. When we talk about times when you can't help yourself, this has been in the news. We have lots of farmers around us. We prayed for them last weekend, too, and they just can't get a break from the rain, but they need that rain to stop so they can plant their crops this spring. And they're waiting long for that. Well, there's times in our lives when we just can't do anything about the situation that we're in. We can only rely on God. And this is the kind of situation that James has in mind when he writes today's scripture reading. This is the kind of situation that we heard about when we read. James said, is anyone among you in trouble? Well, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, we're close to the end of this message series on anointing. Hey, if you haven't liked this, good news. One more week and then we're done. but we're almost to the end. We're going to end up with Pentecost, by the way, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the whole church. It's kind of a cool thing. But we're almost to the end. And today's topic, I wonder, it's one that you may have been waiting for. It's one that came to my mind, at least, when I first started thinking about this series on anointing. Because when it comes to anointing, we can't help, or at least I should say I can't help, thinking about this idea of anointing the sick. It's something that we've heard about. Maybe you've seen it in books or movies. Maybe you've done it yourself, or it's been done for you. But it's out there. Anointing the sick, anointing those who are hurting, anointing those people whom only God can help in the hope of healing. And in truth, the statement that we read here, when James says this, he says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. That sounds good, doesn't it? So here's the question. Why don't we do this more often? When we're ill or injured, or when we're in one of those situations where only God can help us, you know, why don't we spend every moment of every day in prayer? Is it that we hear that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and we think that that sounds good, but it sounds even too good to be true? You know, that just can't happen for us today. Is it that we don't really think prayer really will help us? That it can't really have that power to guarantee healing? Or at the same time, maybe if we take that statement at its face value, that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, well, does that go too far towards a kind of a theology of prosperity and glory? Do we need to understand this rightly for fear that we'll get kind of too far out in left field, right? Can a little dab of oil and a heartfelt prayer really guarantee healing from all kinds of problems? Well, why do you think I put this one off to the end of the message series? Just kidding. These are good things to talk about, and we're going to tackle this difficult question of what prayer does for us in the midst of hardship, in the midst of illness or injury or pain. Why prayer is important for us in those times when only God can help us. So let's dig in. You know, the real reason why we haven't tackled this passage until now is that to really understand what James is saying, to really understand this, practice, the power of anointing the sick, we need to know what an anointing is and what an anointing does. And that's what we've been talking about. And so I want to go back and bring back a few of the lessons that we have learned through this whole series. First, 5 weeks ago, we learned that God anoints us for his purposes, not ours. We heard the story of Saul's anointing as the first king of Israel 5 weeks ago. Saul was anointed by the prophet Samuel, but then Saul was disobedient to God, and God decided he wanted a new king to rule over the land. And so God sent Samuel to anoint the next king David, while Saul still ruled the nation. Saul didn't like that. Saul wanted power, but God wanted a faithful king. Saul tried to use God's anointing for his own purposes, but it didn't work out for him. God wouldn't have it. So God anoints us for his purposes and not ours. And when it comes to prayer and anointing the sick, we have to remember, again, that God anoints us for his purposes and not ours. When we pray for the sick, even if we may anoint that person, you know, it's not like we are anointing them for the special purpose of being healed, because we don't know what God's purpose is here. We can't say that's what God's purpose is. God anoints us for his purposes and not ours. Well, so what is God's purpose for us in times of suffering? Well, I'm going to disappoint you for a moment, because here's the second thing to remember from our message series. 4 weeks ago, we learned that God anoints us for unexpected purposes, things that we wouldn't come up with on our own, things that are not obvious to you and me. 4 weeks ago, we heard the story of how David was anointed to be the second king of Israel, and we saw how the prophet Samuel came to one specific household to anoint one of the sons of that household to be king. And there were 8 sons in that home, and nobody thought that David would be the one of the 8 to be a good king. David was the smallest, David was the youngest, David had the least honor. And in fact, when Samuel asked to see all the sons of the household, they left David out in the field tending the sheep, because who would ever pick him? But God anoints us for unexpected purposes. David was the one who became king. And so when it comes to those who are sick and suffering, we may not know what God intends for us, but at least we know that we don't know what God intends for us, because God anoints us for his own purposes, not ours, and God also anoints us for unexpected purposes. But there's one more thing that we can say. I want to bring up one more lesson that we learned now 3 weeks ago, and that is that when God anoints, he provides. When God anoints, he provides. 3 weeks ago, we read from Psalm 105, and we reflected on the fact that God had remained faithful to his people even when they were unfaithful to him. God had made Israel a covenant promise. God had set Israel apart to be his people, and God always remained faithful to his promises, even when Israel had been unfaithful to God. God had anointed them to be his people, and God provided for them what they needed to be his people. When God anoints, he provides. And these are the three things that we need to understand about anointing in Scripture to know what James is talking about here in verses 14 and 15. That when someone is in trouble and we pray for them, when someone is sick or injured or hurt and we would pray for them or even anoint them, what we're doing is we are anointing that person. We are setting them apart for something special, but what we are setting them apart for is God's care, God's concern, God's provision in their lives. Do we know that God is going to heal them? No, because God anoints us for his purposes and not ours. Do we know what God's going to do in their lives when we pray for them? Well, no, because God anoints us for unexpected purposes as well. But do we know that God will care for that person in all of their needs? Absolutely yes. Because when God anoints, he provides. And in fact, our greatest needs in our times of distress, the one piece of care that God can give us, which is more important, more valuable for us even than physical healing, is to be forgiven, is to be made right with our Father in heaven. It's to be given faith to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who died on the cross for your sins and mine, and rose again from the dead. That's why there's this interesting switch of focus in verses 15 and 16. And you know, did you catch this switch at the end of verse 15? In verse 15, we're talking about the sick person being healed and how the prayer of faith will make the sick one well. And then James states, kind of out of nowhere at the end of the sentence, he says, and if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. And in verse 16, he says something even a little more odd. In verse 16, he then switches right back. Therefore, James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. And then why does he say that we ought to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other? Well, it's not so that we'd be forgiven, which is what you might expect when we're talking about confession. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we don't always know what God's purpose is in our lives, in this world, but we know that he will care for us always. And he always knows our greatest need. God will never leave us or forsake us. And so if it's God's purpose to grow our faith, then that's what he'll do. He'll grow our faith. If it's God's purpose to heal our bodies, that's what he'll do. He'll heal our bodies. And we can't separate the forgiveness of sins which we receive through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, from the healing of our bodies and minds and spirits. You just can't have one without the other. They go together because, you know, the truth is, if you think about this, if I don't have Jesus as my Savior, there is no healing, not really. If I don't know Jesus, if I've turned away from my Creator and then I get hurt or sick, you know, I might bounce back from an illness or an injury and get another 5 or 10 or 20 or 40 years of life right here, right now. But what is that compared to eternity? Eternal life that Jesus promises. Or if I have forgiveness and I have new life in Jesus Christ and I know Him, then God might choose to take my life when I'm 40 instead of 60 or 80. Or 100, and I don't have those 20 or 40 or 60 years here on this earth. But again, what is that compared to eternity? When we're hurting, when we're in that place where only God can help us, when we pray, when we're anointed, we can't know what God's purpose is in my life or yours, but we can know that He cares for us. We can know that he forgives our sins through his Son, Jesus. And we know that we will have full and total healing in his name. When Jesus comes again, we get to enjoy eternal life with him. And that's the real promise that Jesus gives, that he'll care for us and that we will have that eternal healing, eternal goodness, that new creation with our Lord. And here on earth, well, there's no guarantees. And in fact, he says things will be bad sometimes. But he says, never doubt me. I'm here for you. So back to that question we started with. When we're in that time of need, well, why don't we pray more? Why don't we seek the anointing of the elders of the church like James talks about? Well, if the answer for you is that sometimes you find yourself wondering whether that prayer even makes a difference, well, then I would tell you that God always, always cares for you no matter what. And he cares for you in the ways that you need most, even if you don't see that need yourself. And if I might ask you why we don't pray more and the answer for you is something different, if the answer for you is that it seems like, hey, this is just too good to be true. It's that praying and receiving a miracle of healing is just something that happens in stories, or it's just something that happens in Scripture, but not today, not anymore. Or if your thought is something like, well, maybe we just shouldn't ask God for big miracles because that's not, I don't know, humble or something like that. Well, then I would tell you that God has already given you full healing. God has already given you more than you could possibly ask for, full and free and clear. God has already given you eternal life through his son Jesus. And to heal your body or your mind or your spirit right now, well, that would be a small thing for God, in fact. If he can give you eternal life, he can give you life here and now. He can do it. And so today the lesson for us to take home, no matter where we're at on this, is to seek God's help in your time of need. The lesson for us is to pray for one another. It's to support one another in our struggles. That's part of what it means to be Christian. That's part of what it means to live out the forgiveness and the healing and the new life that we've been given in Jesus' name. And the promise for you today is that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God hears you and he answers. Even though we may not know what he's up to in our lives, we know that God will care for us in the way that we need most. So for you, for me, for all the people of God, we never need to fear because we're marked, because we're anointed, because we're his. Amen. Let's stand.